As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put more into than the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she gave it out of her poverty. Put in all she had to live on. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, thank you for the word God within us. Thanks to be God.
Late to Sunday school, so I think we're good all the way around. You ever preach a sermon and it just kind of falls flat? No, just me then. All right, that's awkward. That happens every once in a while, and so I will say this. If you come to both services, and Jason can testify to this, and so can the folks up in the balcony, you're not necessarily going to hear the same sermon twice. So, you know, do with that what you will. I love one of the things that as I've been talking with folks about Broadway, and we've been talking about mission and vision, and what is it that binds us together as a community. One of the things that comes up often is the noisiness of the kids in this service. Carrie was here at the first service to offer a blessing on the backpacks, and she said, it's so quiet in this service. And it's funny because I know that that's not easy for everybody. I don't pretend as though, there are times when we've got kids dancing up here, and I know it can be distracting and all the other things, and I would love to eventually be known as the church that, oh yeah, that's that noisy church, right? Because you know why it's noisy? Why is it noisy? Yeah, because we've got kids and they're being joyful, they're being kids, right? They are contributing. And sometimes it's hard for us to figure out. I love that Layton read scripture this morning. I always want to find opportunities for the kids to participate in the ways that the grown-ups do too. But the truth is, they're not grown-ups. And so sometimes what they have to offer doesn't fit in the kind of church that I grew up in, right? I mean, I grew up in a great church. They were always kind to me, even when I was little. But we knew when to be quiet, which was most of the time. And that meant that even though I was there, I knew that, like, if I was truly leaning into who I was, there wasn't space for that there. Does that make sense? So I love that the kids can be who they are in worship. And here's the hard part. We spend so much of our childhood learning how to fit in, right? Learning when to shut up and when we can speak up. And then when we speak up, what it is we're expected to say or what will at least get us accolades when we say it. That by the time we get to be our age, that's a span, right? But by the time we get to be adults, most of us have learned that there's a part of us that's welcome in certain places and a part that we need to leave at the door. This is one of the things I love about, we call this sort of a contemporary worship service. I like to think of it as like an alternative worship service. If one is traditional, the other is just whatever doesn't fit in that traditional bucket, although we still do a lot of the same things, a lot of the same pieces in worship. But I like to think that one of the things that that is different, or at least that could be different about this service, is rather than it being us, the worship leadership, preaching to you, telling you what God is saying to the people, that this is an opportunity for you to show up fully as who you are. So, you know, Aaliyah and I are both singers, and so we will always be like, okay, will you sing with us? And I know that not everybody's a singer. Not everybody feels them as though they are a singer. And I understand that, and I want to make space for that, but I still want you present here. So I don't know what you do that's meaningful as you're singing. I hope that you feel like you can sing out loud, even if you aren't a great singer, right? I want you to feel like you can add your voice to the choir. And if your voice is not vocal, if you want to clap, don't worry about whether or not you're clapping on the right beat, okay? Don't worry about it. Add what you have to add. If you are feeling like you're called to be maybe not to vocalize, maybe not even to clap, but to raise your hands, I know, weird, right? We're Methodists. There was a time we were known for that kind of thing, but not anymore, right? Except if you feel like that's how you're called to pray or sing or be present with, do it! We are, and I say this every week, but we are, Broadway is not the ministries that the staff put on and then that you choose to participate in. Broadway is you all. And so if you're leaving a piece of who you are behind, then you're not fully present, then we're failing you, and you're not giving us everything that you have to give. Showing up with your questions, pushing back against a sermon you disagree with. These are unconventional things that we have been taught not to do, right? And yet I am saying, you have heard it said, this is how you act in church. And yet I say unto you, this is a place for you to be fully present. Who did God create you to be? We are bigger than the box that we want to put God in, and we are bigger than the box we want to put each other on. We're bigger than the box we put ourselves in order to come here. And so this message, this scripture that Leighton read for us this morning, normally this scripture only gets read when it's pledge season. We still have a month and change before pledge season comes around and we ask everybody to contribute. Now, I almost want to make fun of that. I almost want to make a joke, but this is important and I'll talk about that in a minute. But this scripture isn't just about money, right? This is Luke's version of the story. In Matthew's version of the story, we get that the people, the rich folks who were putting money in the coffers, they were making a big show of it, a big production of it. Which tells us that they are creating a sense of importance around this specific thing. They've got money to give, and so they give. And that's great. Nobody's saying, Jesus doesn't walk up there and say, take your money back out of there, right? But he's saying, if this is easy for you to give, great. What's the harder thing? What's the growing edge for you, right? Maybe it's humility for this person or these people that Jesus saw. I don't know about you, but as I'm learning what it means to be an adult with ADHD, as I'm leaning into that and not just sort of shaming myself for like not being the same as what I think a pastor should be, right? Always organized and always whatever else. I'm recognizing that the hardest, I thought that the thing that was the scarcity piece in my life that I had to learn to give sacrificially was my time, right? Never enough time in the day. That's not true for me. It's actually focus. I can have big swaths of time in the middle of my day, and that doesn't mean I'm productive throughout all of them, right? Like, it's the focus. So when there are times when I am sitting in silence in my office, and I know people love to joke, are you sleeping in here? No, but I am conserving so that when I, A, can focus, I'm able to get a lot done, or B, so that when you walk into my office, there is nothing else on my mind. Maybe I had six different projects I was supposed to be working on, but when you come to see me, it's just you. Because that's what I have to give. And I don't have a lot of focus to give, unfortunately. At least I feel like I don't have as much as I feel like I'm supposed to. But when you need me, it's yours. And this is what Jesus is talking about. This scripture isn't about money. This is just one of the ways it manifests. And it's important. It's important that we not overlook the money aspect. Why? Because we live in a society today that still says money is important, right? You got a hang on to what you can. Because we live in this scarcity mentality. I'll tell you, one of the secrets behind capitalism, I only know because my dad taught economics for 30 years. But if we learned about that supply and demand curve. Do you remember that? When supply goes up, what's the demand is high, what's the cost of a thing do? Well, if we have a high supply, then what does the cost do? It goes down, right? If we have high demand and low supply, what does the cost do? Goes up. Why? Because things have value when there aren't enough of them to go around. That is a built-in scarcity mindset, right? So you better spend your money wisely. You better save whatever you can because if you truly need something, you have to be able to pay for it. If you truly need it, that price is going up. But that means things that are abundant have no value. This is one of the reasons we, as a country, we pay farmers not to grow sometimes, so that the prices of commodity crops will stay at a place where the people who are growing them and selling them can actually make a living off of it. Because if we actually said, hey, we've got enough food to feed everybody, there would be no commodity. You wouldn't be able to sell it. Well, then what would we do? Last week we talked about how God is what? God is, remember what the essential God is? Love. That's right. See? Feel free. Say it out. Speak it out. God is love. You cannot commoditize love. You can commoditize relationships. You can commoditize sex. You can commoditize all sorts of transactional things. You cannot commoditize love. I don't know about you. When I was a kid, we learned a song. Love is something if you give it away, give it away, give it away. Love is something if you give it away, you end up having more, right? The more love we sow into the world, the more there is to reap. And so you cannot put a price on it. And what Jesus is saying is the things that are scarce in your life, we are called to let them go. Why? Because A, this is how we grow as individuals. B, because this is how we remember that our faith is in God. Friends, the more time I hold on to, the more focus I hold on to so that I can have it for the things I want, the less, I'll never have enough. The more I try to fit in, the less I will feel like I belong. The more I hoard my money, the more I will feel as though it is never enough. And so we let go to remember that the only thing that will ever be enough is God, is love, is the people we are called to remember that we are always in relationship with. And so we contribute, not to a building, not to a place, not to an ideology. We contribute to the kingdom of God. And sometimes that means we pass the baskets around so that we remember that giving is a spiritual practice, right? We need you. We need your presence. We need your attention. Hey, I would love for you to come to every single event that we do at Broadway. And you don't have the time. So you pick the places where you can give that time and where you can be fully present. Because if you are showing up and you're there for a four-hour event and you could care less about the people coming and going, or at least you can't spare more than a, like, hi, how you doing, and then not really listening to that answer, right, like most of us do from time to time, that is less valuable than the person who only has 5 minutes but shows up and is fully present with somebody, right? When you think about the communities that you have in your life that are life-giving, whether they've been churches, Lions clubs, school groups, work groups, just friends around that you gather regularly around the table, the things that make them feel life-giving almost every time is that folks there are fully present with you and make space for you to be fully present as well. So, we've talked about, as we've talked about the importance of growing in our relationships, we've talked about connecting, communicating, collaborating. Today is about, I just lost the word. Now, today is about contributing. Because when we contribute, whatever it is we have that God is calling us to give, we find that we are needed in a place. That God is doing something bigger than we thought we could do on our own with that scarce little whatever it is we have to give. In the Methodist Church, we talk about when we join a church committing supporting the ministry with ministries with our time, our talents, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And so I ask you, what do you need to do to feel like you contribute to Broadway? I don't mean how do you give more or volunteer more necessarily. I mean, what do you need in order to realize that we need you, that you contribute, that your contribution matters? And that the more fully present you are in this space, the more we all are who God has called us to be.